we are going to start a new series today, and it's about discernment. It's about listening to God's voice, and it's about doing our best to be attentive to where he's working, what he's doing, and what he's saying in our lives and to us and all around us. And a lot of the time, I actually hear a lot of people say, oh, I wish I could hear from God. Oh, I'm not like that person. And we start doing this comparison where it's like they hear from God and like the way that they talk about it, it's like they just like hear their radio turn on in the middle of the night and God tells them direct messages. And in my experience, I can't say, like, there's times where it's felt audible. It's been the sensation of audibility. I've never actually heard the voice of God speak out loud to me. So hearing is more like this sensing with your soul or with your heart or with your mind. It's like this feeling of or a knowing that God is speaking to you at a spiritual level, not at the like physical hearing level. So ears are not as important for it as one might think when you hear the words hearing from God. So that's just like a little primer. One thing that I find is that, so first of all, I love hearing from God. I don't know about you guys. I think it's awesome. I think it's like the most awesome. It's like God speaking to us. But a lot of the time, I have like these seasons where I'm not hearing God. And many of those times, it's because I'm not listening attentively. It's because I'm not investing in my relationship with God, or it's because I have so many other distractions in my life. I think I may have said this before here, but I think I might be one of the world's worst multitaskers. You know how like I thought for a while, I was like, oh, I can multitask, I'm so good at it. It's like I can do two things, look at me, watch TV and be on my computer, and then I don't remember anything about the movie that I watched, and I have like 900 grammar errors on the thing I was writing. And that's kind of like par for the course. Maybe some other times that I know I've been distracted are at like when you go to a restaurant, especially like a sports bar, and there's like 90 TVs on, and you're trying to have a conversation with someone, and both of you can't pay attention to the other person's conversations, so you have to ask, oh, what'd you say? Oh, what'd you say? It is like the worst, unless you just both agree. You say, hey, we're going to watch these sports, and then we're going to go have coffee afterwards, and that's probably the best. Also, don't go to a sports bar or anywhere that has a TV for a first date. Seriously. I'm 100% serious here. Don't go there. Scout out the place first. Call them. If you're like, I haven't been there, but someone told me it's good, say, hey, do you have any TVs? And they're like, yeah, we have some just in this area. Okay, well, I want a seat in not that area. Because attentiveness and listening equal a second date. That's just true. If you don't listen to the person and you're like, oh, I forget all these details about them, when you remember details and you text them later and be like, oh, how's your mom doing? Or how's your cat after it went to the veterinarian? How's, like, you're gonna get the second date. Unless you don't want it, that's okay too, but it's still good to be attentive. So yeah, that's just like some advice. But I think it has correlations with our relationship with God. Because when we're attentive to God, when we're spending time with him, we're able to more adequately hear what he's saying and to see what he's doing in our lives and all around us and in the lives of others. So we not only get the amazing opportunity to hear God speak to us, but we also get to see God working in other people. So some ways that people hear from God pretty classically are these. I think they're going to be on the screen. Okay, here's just some. There's other ways. And like, God is so creative, so he can speak in tons of ways. Like, I sometimes hear him. My most is like in GIFs, I call them, or mini videos. But it's like pictures in my head. So a sense or a thought through scripture, through other people, whether that's interaction with people or hearing someone say something directly. And we're going to talk about that more next week. Dreams, visions, observations through nature, writing. Coincidences? I think not. other books, so other books other than the Bible, like this one that some of the ideas from this message and some of the series are going to be on, called Discernment by Henry Nouwen. It's awesome. He's an awesome author. You can't go wrong, really. But other books, resting through actions, through music, whether actions that have people do to you or you can do for other people, music, it can be worship or other music. There's some artists that I know had a really tough relationship with the church growing up, and then I can hear the pain of that, and it just breaks my heart. And so I start praying every time I hear, and they're some of my favorite artists. Circumstances and situations and prayer, and these are just a few of them, but these are some ways that we hear from God or can engage with our hearing from God, and that we can start to be attentive in these areas. So when we talk about discernment, we're really talking about discerning and hearing and listening and being attentive to God. And Henry Nouwen, in his book, describes discernment as this. Discernment is a spiritual understanding and an experiential knowledge of how God is active in daily life that is acquired through disciplined spiritual practice. So it's this understanding, this spiritual understanding, and like experiencing the knowledge of God, and through our relationship with God, through practicing things, through practicing prayer, through reading scripture, through interacting with people and having really good conversation, through having our heart broken for the lost or for people who need Jesus' help in a ton of other ways. And then he goes on to say, discernment is faithful living and listening to God's love and direction so that we can fulfill our individual calling and shared mission. So it's learning to live faithfully in our relationship with God so that we can more uncover, and we've talked about this a bunch, uncover our calling, uncover God's purpose for us, for our individual lives, but also discernment is about coming together as a collective. And so it's this amazing opportunity to engage with God, to have our individual calling become more fulfilled and more whole, and then other people's individual callings start merging together, and all who call upon the name of Jesus come together as the body to bring glory to God, to hear him, and to make his name known. So there's like an individual aspect to discernment, but also we start to understand more our place in the collective of all of Christianity. So that brings us to our text for today. And as I thought on this idea of hearing from God, the first thing that came to mind was, you guys have probably heard it called the still small voice that Elijah hears. And so I'm just going to read just that section, and then we're going to break down more of Elijah's story. So it says, starting in verse 11 of 1 Kings 19, it says, so he said, this is an angel of the Lord, I believe. So he said, go forth and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord was passing by. And a great and strong wind was rending the mountain and breaking in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of a gentle blowing, of a gentle whisper, some versions say, a still small voice. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave, and behold, a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? Now, I was going to say, oh, there's a sermon to be had just in this section. And I think I've preached that sermon. It's like the idea that like all of the things in life, there's all this chaos going around in our life. Maybe there's a lot of excitement and there's so many things to do and so many things to participate in, but we need to be waiting. And we need to be really attentive and listening well to God so that we hear that gentle whisper. And I think that's true, and I think that's part of hearing God's voice. It's weeding out all of the crazy things that we might see, and it's like, oh, there's big things here. It must be God working. But sometimes, oftentimes, he's working in the still, small voice, in the gentle whisper, in the light breeze, when all this crazy stuff is going on around us. But then I looked back at a couple chapters back on Elijah's story. And I was, because here he's like in this cave and he had just had 40 days where it kind of seems like he maybe wasn't hearing from God and he just ran in fear. And we're going to get to that again. But leading up to that, Elijah heard a ton of times from God and saw God work in a crazy ways. And one thing I think that is encouraging about this is Elijah seems to struggle to trust God, to hear his voice, even though he's seen all of these miracles and amazing things happen that we're going to talk about. And one encouragement I would give to each and every one of you is that if you're like, oh, I don't know if I've ever heard from God, or I don't hear very often, or oh, it's only been like once or twice ever, God wants to speak to you. God will speak to you. And there's going to be desert seasons. Seasons where you're like, I can't hear anything. Press into your relationship with him. And that's what we're going to explore. So starting in verse 17, we're going to do a quick run through. Verse 17, 1 to 16. Pretty much Elijah lives with this widow and her son. There's more to it. You should go and read these. 17, 18, and 19. These are gold Bible stories. They're like, they'll get you going. So 1 Kings 17 through 19, Elijah lives with the widow and her son. 17 to 24, the son dies. This is really sad. But then Elijah prays for him and he is revived. So it's like this amazing thing. Like you think that would be like mega high. You're like, oh, I'm always going to trust in God. I'm always going to relate with him. But then we see in 18 and 1 to 19, Elijah meets this guy named Obadiah. And Obadiah is kind of fearful because Ahab wants to kill Elijah. And Elijah goes and tells him, he says, hey, go tell Ahab that I'm here. And Obadiah's like, no, I'm not doing that. He's going to kill me. And then he's like, no, you should just go do it. Trust in this. And Elijah should like probably have listened to his own preaching. And I can attest to that. Man, sometimes it's easy to come and say things and read the Bible. It's a lot harder to live things out. So just know, like, I'm in this with you guys. So then he goes and he tells him, he's like, go and show yourself to Ahab. I'm going to bring rain. They've been in this drought. And just like trust in God. And so he does that, and then they set up this huge showdown between 450 prophets of Baal versus Elijah. And one thing that keeps reoccurring is either the word or the voice of God. It's just like, it's over and over again in these passages. It's like, oh, and then they heard the voice of God, or trust in the word of God, or trust in the voice of God. I think voice or word comes up over a dozen times. Depending on your version, may vary. So Elijah has this showdown with these 450 prophets of Baal. And if you guys know the story, you'll know where I'm going, but I'll tell the story. We got Elijah on one hand and an altar, and we got 450 prophets. So that's like more people than are in this room right now, all around this other altar. And they are calling for Baal to consume this altar, to bring fire upon it. And it says distinctly, the voice did not answer. They were not calling upon the God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob. They were not calling upon what we would say the name of Jesus, right? They're not calling upon Elijah's God. They're calling upon Baal, this false god, and nothing happens. So then we see Elijah, who, this is like the boss, it's a boss move by Elijah. He comes up and he says, hey, pour like some buckets of water on my altar and ox. No, pour some more buckets of water. No, pour some more buckets of water. Because we all know, if you've been camping before, wet wood, it really lights up nice. I've been at the worst bonfire before. That's like, oh, we got a little smoke. Oh, no, it's just the paper. Nope, a little smoke. Oh, no, okay, we're going to go inside. There's too many mosquitoes. He pours water and water and water on this altar. And then he calls upon the name of the Lord. And it's just like fire. I just picture like a beam of fire from heaven. I don't actually know what it looks like. Disclaimer. But it lights up and it gets consumed. And then Elijah ends up like lining up all these. So he consumes it. They get all burned. And Elijah speaks to God through prayer in this moment. And then he says in verse 36, let it be known that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and I have done all these things at your word. Because he heard from God and he acted. Then the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And then it's like this gruesome scene where he like kills all 450 of them. I just picture him samurai sword. I don't know. That's not a thing from that area, but some sort of. But he kills them all. And he becomes victorious. And it's like, you would just think like, oh, like healed this kid, like told Obadiah to trust and Obadiah didn't get killed. And then like sees fire beam from heaven and wins this battle and gets to kill these 450 guys, and you just think he would be like so jacked up, right? And like, oh, I can conquer the world. No one can get in my way. Ahab and Jezebel, I don't even care. Jezebel's like this other bad guy, we'll call them, in the story. Bad guy, I don't know why. Anyways, but then what happens is in 19:1-8, Jezebel tells Elijah that she's going to kill him by tomorrow, the same way that he killed all of those prophets. And Elijah is fearful. And it actually says that Elijah says that he just wants to die. And I don't know about you, but I have had, countless times in my life where I'm on, like, things are going so well in my relationship. I'm hearing from God. Things are going good. You go to like a retreat or a camp or a mission trip or maybe a really good service and you're like, God is so good. I can conquer everything right now. Man, I need to go pray for people because I know cool things are going to happen. And then something happens and turns. And there's this like come down where you're like, okay, it's like, and the enemy gets in that place. And I think the enemy just wants to totally ruin all of our spiritual highs. And I know life isn't just lived on like spiritual high after spiritual high. It should not be lived that way. But when we come to a spiritual high, it should not be like a total defeat and wanting to die. I can think of specific times where I came back from a mission trip and then I don't think I read my Bible for a month. The enemy was just like, oh, you had that good time. Now I'm going to just dig a little bit, dig away. It's not always going to be as drastic as Elijah's, and someone's probably not trying to kill me after my mission trip either. But what happens is I think we get up on this spiritual high, and then it was just like we saw God working and it was awesome. But we forget to maintain relationship and trust with God. We forget that the undergirding of all of our hearing from God and all that we do in relationship with God is just like being in relationship with Him. It's praying, it's reading our Bible, it's having good conversations about Him. It's knowing that we love Him deeply. And so what we actually see, it's really funny because then an angel comes to Elijah and says, "Hey, I got this food for you and this drink." And so he's like, "Oh, okay." And then he's like, "Oh, you got to drink and eat some more." And like I pictured that Elijah was like really hangry after, except for it was like this spiritual hangriness. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that. I don't get it. My cousin Pat, oh man, is the worst. He's like a bear. And then you get him like some Subway, and then he's like the happiest person ever. And Elijah then spends 40 days. And we don't get any indication that he hears from God for these 40 days. But he's obviously safe. And we know that he's listening or trying to listen, and he's eating this food. And there's this desert season, and then he we see this in verse 9. Then he came there to a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This is after 40 days of maybe nothing. We're not sure, but it kind of implies that. And he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away." So he said to him, "Go forth and stand on the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord was passing by." And you guys heard this part, but we'll read it again. "And a great and strong wind was rending the mountains and breaking in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in an earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of a gentle blowing." When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Then he said, he's repeating himself a little bit here, but, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you have arrived, you shall anoint Hazael king over Aram, and Jehu the son of Nisham, you shall anoint king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah. You shall anoint as prophet in your place. It shall come about, the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall put to death, and the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elisha, shall put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." And so we see after these 40 days, and I don't know if you guys have had 40 days. I've had my 40 days, and they may be 40 days is just a symbol. It's not like every time you hear from God and you're going to hear him from the next 40 days. Thankfully, sometimes it's daily. But there are seasons that we go through or time periods that we go through where we don't hear from God, and we are pushing into relationship with him. And that's where I think we really need to be obedient and we need to wait upon the Lord. Sometimes we're not going to hear from God for certain reasons. Sometimes he's teaching us patience. Sometimes it's because we maybe didn't listen to the last time that he told us to do something. But what I know is that if we are relating with God, if we're spending time investing in a relationship with him, we are going to hear him speak. Sometimes it's going to be one of those things where you're like, okay, like I've been praying and I'm sensing this thing, but I don't know. Like push into that. Sometimes it's going to be you're like, I'm 60% sure. Keep praying about it. But God's going to impress it on your heart. And if you're spending time with him, it's going to be undeniable in time. And one thing that Henry Nouwen talks about in his book that we're going to address more next week, he talks about the importance of relating to people. Because sometimes when we don't know, if we know people who know Jesus, who are in relationship with him, we can ask them. That's a part of this body life is about. It's like exploring that purpose for your life, but also helping to understand through other people more fully what God has for your life. And we see, Nouwen has this quote in his book where he's actually talking about this story. He got to meet Mother Teresa. And he was talking to her, and in their conversation, he started unpacking that he was having. He's like talking about these temptations he was having, and talking about these distractions in his life, and like kind of all of what we were talking about at the start, like all of these things that might get in the way of our relationship with God. And so he was telling her this. He's like, I have these temptations, I have these distractions, and he expected her to like very like peacefully and like. Very like nicely, like kind of like break them down and help him like work through them and give him some strategies. But instead, she just said this. She said, well, when you spend 1 hour a day adoring your Lord and never do anything which you know to be wrong, you will be fine. I know that's easier said than done. But I know the days of my life that have been the most fruitful, that maybe haven't gone always the best way. Maybe there's been bad things that have happened. But some of the best days of my life have been the times when I've spent serious time with God. And she says, adoring your Lord. I think sometimes we are like, yeah, I'm spending time with God. I'm like, I'm assessing the scriptures. I'm learning this. I'm like reading this. And like, I think that's good. But if that's all we're doing, it might not be as fruitful as just spending some time. Like, what I would challenge you guys this week is spend some time. I don't know how much time you have, but spend some time just praying to God and telling him how much you love him. Telling him how much you appreciate him and thanking him for things in your life. Just do that. Just that. Spending time adoring the Lord. And like she says, and never do anything which you know to be wrong. But I think that's something that kind of, if we're spending an hour telling God how much we love him, or we're spending an hour like in scripture and praying and like talking about him with some people, you're going to start to notice that our actions and what we do and how we do life and our trust in God starts to just increase naturally. And we start to hear from him more. And we start to discern what he's doing more just because we're spending that time with him. But one thing that I think is easy for us to do is just be like, oh yeah, okay, that's like a cool thing. But I think it's really good to have some strategies or maybe these are like kind of like how to know we're on the right track in hearing from God. And these are five things. They're a list of five. It's more like a list of three things, and then two things that will kind of help you discern and discern what you're hearing. So like discernment about your discernment. That's funny. But the first one is this. It's check your heart and be ready to receive. So when we're spending that time with God, we start preparing ourselves to receive from him. And it says in Jeremiah 29, 13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So you'll start hearing God. And then the second one is knowing God's voice. It's being attentive to God's voice and to be able to discern it when all those crazy things are happening, when you're like, oh, I don't know what's going on. Or maybe when we're distracted and we're like, no, I need to settle in and start listening to God and to hear that gentle whisper. And John 10, 4 says this, when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them and the sheep follow him for they know his voice. So as we start investing in our relationship with him, these kind of all build on each other. As you start investing in our relationship with him and loving him and seeking him with all our heart, we start to know. And that 40%, you're like, I think this was God, but it sounded a lot in my voice. Don't be scared if it sounds like you would talk. If it's not in these and thous, I think I've said this before, but if it's not in these and thous and like this booming voice, or it doesn't sound like an angry dad, it's not supposed to sound like that. A lot of the time I find that it kind of sounds how you would like to be talked to, or how you might talk to someone when you're joyful, or when you want to say something nicely, or when you want to, maybe it's if you want to lovingly say a rebuke, that's how you're going to hear God speak. I totally believe that. And maybe you do hear the booming dad voice. I don't think God wants to speak to you angry, though. But you start to know his voice, and that 40% sure starts to become a 60%. And then you start to be like, oh, this is God. And when it's for yourself, when it's something for you, you're like, I can explore this and test this out. Because if it's reliable and if it's a good thing and if it's from God, you're like, okay. Now, when it's for other people, be a lot more careful. Say, hey, I'm not sure about this, but God's been saying this to me and you've been put on my heart, so I don't know if there's some correlation there. It's a really awesome way to maybe be able to encourage someone else too. And then the third is discerning his voice. In further on in John 10, it says in John 10, 27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And so it might be more being obedient to that voice is a better way to say that. It's when we start hearing God's voice, then we start doing what he says. And I find it kind of starts to snowball when you do what he says and you hear his voice, and you're investing in your relationship, you're gonna hear from him more and you're gonna get more opportunities to be obedient to him, to step into who he has called you and I to be. And then number four and five, I said, are more like checks. Number four is, does it make sense with Scripture? 2 Timothy 3:16 talks about how all Scripture is breathed out of God and it's profitable for our development and our growth with God. It says profitable for... for teaching and reproof and for correction and for training in righteousness. Like, does it make sense with the Bible? If it's something that says like, hey, go lie to 90 people, like, and that's probably not God speaking. But if it's like, if something, and to me, like, encouragement is almost, I find always safe. If God, like, is encouraging you and telling you he loves you, like, it's like, that's God. If you're like, it sounded like I would say it. It's like, no, that's probably God telling you that. And if it's an encouragement for someone else, if God puts it on your heart to just like go tell a friend like, hey, like, I just want to let you know I care for you and that I'm praying for you. And I just like someone popped out of nowhere and you texted them. That's okay for it to be God because it's a godly good truth to encourage people. So does it line up with Scripture? And there's some harder examples. And then five is, And we talked about this a little already, is find people that you can explore the voice of God. I should say with, that's my typo. Explore the voice of God with. People that you can go to and be like, hey, I've been hearing this. This has been pressed on my heart. What do you think? And can you pray about it? And can you pray with me? It says in Proverbs 12:15, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. Or woman. Both. Sometimes we're not going to be sure. Now, I think times where you're like, I know this is God. You don't need to be like, I need to go check with five friends, and if they don't agree, then I'm not. Like, but the times where you're like, I don't know about this. Go and seek counsel. Go and ask some friends and ask some people who you know are in right relationship with God. It can be family members. It can be people from your church back home or from this church here. It can be anyone on staff here. They would love to explore this with you. But I really think that if we want to hear from God more, God is going to speak to us more. That if we start listening for him more, and if we start being attentive to his voice, we're going to hear him speak. Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would come. In John 14 and 16, he talks about the Holy Spirit, and he talks about how he's going to guide us and give us wisdom and help us in everything that we do. And I wholeheartedly believe that if you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit lives in you. And that if you haven't been hearing from him, he wants to speak to you. He's probably speaking to you. And we just need to be more attentive to his voice. I've had seasons where I like hear every single day, and I've had dry spells where I don't feel like doing anything in my relationship with God. But one thing I really want in this season of life, personally, is to hear God speak more and to be obedient to what he tells me to do. Whether that's something easy, whether that's something fun, or if that's something hard, or maybe it's something way out of my comfort zone. And so my encouragement to you guys would be, press into the voice of the Lord. Listen to him. And remember the times that you've experienced his love. Look back, like Elijah did. Now, like obviously people wanting to kill you is a different scene. But if Elijah would have just looked back at how good God was in his life, maybe this would have been a little bit different. But then we wouldn't have this awesome story, so I don't know how it always works. And we're people, right? We're human. We have times where we feel distant from God and we're not sure what's going on. That's why we have this community to build each other up. Be in prayer, be in relationship with him, and tell him how much you love him this week. And just wait and see what he's going to say to you. We're going to go into a time of prayer. And for those of you that have been coming to Oasis for a while, normally we have people in the back for prayer. But today we're going to do something a little bit different. And it's a little bit scary, and it's a little bit out of our comfort zone. But I'm going to invite you, if you'd like to be prayed for, to hear the voice of God, whether that's more in your life, or if you just want to hear him. You're like, I haven't been hearing him, or I haven't heard him, or it's been so long. I'm going to invite you to take the step forward. Because it's one of those things where it's a forward step in our faith to say, I'm going to invest more in my relationship with God so I can hear him more, so I can be obedient to him more, so that I can step into who he's calling me to be. And I think there's something about the forward motion of coming up. And there's no judgment to that. Being prayed for to hear from God more. There's no problems with that. So if that's you, if God's placing it on your heart that you want to be prayed for, that you want to be encouraged, we're going to have a bunch of us up at the front here. And if you feel inclined to be prayed for, we're going to be here. And then after the worship set, after we're done for the evening, we're going to linger around at the front. And if you want to be prayed for, whether that's now, and I would encourage you to take the bold step forward now to be prayed for. Or if it's after. Maybe it's because you've been seeking out Jesus. And you're like, I just don't know about this Jesus thing. I'm on the fence. Or I grew up Christian and I just don't know. Come up and be prayed for. Whether you've accepted him before or not, we would love to help you step fully into your relationship with Jesus, whether that's for the first time or if that's a rededication. But also, if you just want to hear from him more, we'd love to pray for you and encourage you. Let's pray, and then feel free to stay in your seat and be quiet and pray, or to come forward. Let's pray. God, we love you. We love you so much. And God, I know that sometimes we feel like there's so many barriers in our way. There's so many things in our way. There's so many distractions in our society that we can't hear your voice. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that your Holy Spirit would move in this place, that you would be speaking softly and gently and lovingly to each and every heart in this room. God, we pray for direction for the future. God, we pray for encouragement for tomorrow. And God, we pray for sustenance for today. God, I pray over each and every person here, no matter where they're at, no matter where they came into this room, where we're feeling. God, I pray that we would abandon ourselves to you, that our hearts would be given over to you, and that we would start to know your voice, that we'd hear you on a regular basis. And even in those times where we're in the desert and we're not hearing you, God, that we would rely upon your word, that we would look back to the times we have heard you speak in the past, that we would look to scripture and know that you are moving and that you are real and that you love us. God, we pray in the name of Jesus that your love would abound, and that in those desert seasons, in those times of trial or those times of distance, we would trust in you and we would wait. And we'd almost be giddy with anticipation to hear your voice again. God, we love you. And God, I pray that your voice would become more known to each and every person here. God, we thank you for everything you've given us. And God, we pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.